Gotcha. Okay, so I'll start. So Kuf Dalet, he did?
Kuf Dalet, he did. But I was, of the three, I was the only one here, so I don't mind if it's reviewed, you know. Because I don't remember.
Okay, so I'll start in the beginning and just go through it briefly. Okay, so we'll start with Kuf Dalet on the days. Now, although the topic that we're dealing with is heteriska, the Gemara, you're not going to find heteriska in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about an iska. The heter part came later. So we'll start with it, iska, and then from that we'll see how it developed into what it is today. Amri Nahardoi, Hai iska pagam of a pagam pikadoi. When you give an iska means an investment, a business. So it is pagam over pagam pikadon. Half of it is a loan, half of it is a pikadon. Avra rabban milsa dinichalei loiva nichalei lamalva. Now, essentially, the issue over here is that if two people enter into a partnership, so you can negotiate whatever terms you want. 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, whatever the split is, as long as everything is discussed in advance, it's generally not a problem. Again, there's certain ribbis issues which we'll deal with, but you can negotiate whatever terms of a partnership that you want. What happens if people just enter into a partnership and they don't discuss what exactly the deal is? Two guys at a yeshiva, one has a great idea, the other one has a couple of dollars. They say, okay, great, let's be partners. You take the money, you do the... They go ahead, Baruch Hashem, they make it, or Nebuch, that goes bankrupt. And now they're fighting. The investor says, listen, we're 50-50. If we went bankrupt, I want you to pay me for half the loss. So how do we deal with it? So the Gemara over here says that high iska, when you do a standard investment, where one person provides the capital, the other one does the work. So the default is... We split everything 50-50. Now, the way we split it 50-50, the way the Chazal worked it out technically, what does it mean 50-50? If it's all my money, how come you're taking half of it? And if it gets lost, why is the manager responsible for half of it? So Chazal said, we take this investment, we take this $100,000, we split it into two parts. Half of it, we say, is a loan to the managing partner. Now, if it's a loan, if the money all goes bust, all disappears, what happens? A loan, you have to pay back. You can't say, well, this deal, if it's a loan, you're responsible no matter what happens. So that's why, the reason why they split the losses is because half the money is looked at as a loan, and that loan, the manager, the recipient, the borrower, whatever you want to call him, is responsible and liable for that no matter what. And that's why, if there's any loss, it will be split 50-50. Now, if there are profits, so the chelek hamilva, the part that is lent to the manager, since he lent it, if I go to the bank and I borrow money and I invest it, does the bank get a share of the profits? No. Whatever the terms are, interest, no interest, but it's a loan, it's my liability, I get the profits. So half the money of an iska, we say, is lent to the managing partner, and that's why the profits that share generates or any loss that comes is completely his. That's half. The other half is pikadon. Pikadon is if I have something and I give it to you to watch, so it's mine. If it gets destroyed, so you're makabel, you're a shomer, you have certain responsibilities, you have to watch it. But let's say there's an oinus, something happens out of your control. So look, that's my problem. It's my item got lost. You didn't do anything wrong. So I suffer any loss or any damage. What happens if this pikadon, for some reason, becomes more valuable while you're watching it? Who gets the profit? It's mine. They're mine. Since it belongs to me. So that's why when you invest the money, Chazal say half of it is a loan, and that part, the recipient, gets all the profits, all the losses. Half is a pikadon, which means it belongs to the investor. It's his. It's just being watched and managed by the managing partner. And therefore, everything gets split 50-50. And we're going to see that the heter iska is based on this kind of arrangement. But for this Gemara, we're just going to go through real quickly some of just the halakhas that come out because of this split. So the Gemara says, Hashadami and Pagam Mova. So the Gemara says, now there's half of the Mova. We have a very nice idea. Let's say we go into a business together. You provide the capital, I'm doing the work. So you give me $100,000. So I turn around there and tell you, listen, half is a Mova, half is a Pagam, right? So the card that I'm going to put into the business. The milva, I'm actually planning, I would like to go on a cruise, and I need some cash. So the milva, the money that you lend me, I'm going to use it and spend it on my personal expenses. It's a loan. If I go to the bank, I can do whatever I want with the money. So Gemara says, "Ibayim lemishta beishikra." The example is if you want to drink beer with it, you want to go to a bar and blow the money on beer. Shapratam, you're allowed to because it's a chatimova. The investor doesn't lose anything because either way, he's entitled to the profits that are generated by the chatibikadim. Any money generated by your half, your chatimova, is not his anyway. So he has no loss. It's a loan. Go blow it in a bar. So Rava Amar, no. Rava says nothing doing. It's true there's a chatim over, but it is called an iska. It's true that a loan you can normally do what you want with. But if you're given a loan specifically for a specific purpose, you go over to someone, you need money, you want to, Rashiva comes around, he needs money, he wants to expand the building. So if you give him a loan for a specific purpose, that's what it's for. So over here, it's true that half of this investment is called a milva, but because it was done specifically to invest, there you don't have the right to do what you want with it, and it has to be used for business purposes. Amar Rav Idibar Avin, v'meis nase metatlan etzabanov. Rav Idibar Avin says that if it's a loan, we have another point, that the halacha is, if you lend someone money, and the person dies, so to be goyva from Yisayimim, you'll only be goyva karka. Metalkalin, you cannot be goyva meikar hadin. Again, we'll see this change, but meikar hadin, you cannot collect metalkalin from the Yisayimim. Now, if you give money as an iska for someone, so the chatzi pikadon, and then he dies, the chatzi pikadon is yours. Just like if I give my car to a neighbor to watch, and then the neighbor dies, the car still belongs to me. The Yisayimim can't say, listen, we're Yisayimim, it's metalkalin, we don't have to give it back to you. It's my car. It happened to have been in the father's possession when he died, but give it back to me. But a loan, if I lend money to the father and he died, so he left over karaka, I'll get it back. If he left over metalkalin, the ikar hadin, I can't recover. So then the Idibar Avin says, since every iska is half a loan, so now you should when you want to collect from the Yisayimim, you should be in back, but you shouldn't be able to because it's metalkalin. So Rav Amar Rava says the same thing. It's true that Chazal Lokud is a chatzimova, but it still is an iska, and it still is meshubid. It is collateral for the entire investment, and therefore it is not called metalklin etol yasmi. The halacha is you will have the right to the investor will have the right to take the money back even from the assignment. Now there's a lot of discussion among the poskim what the pshat in this gemara is. Some learn from here that even though we treat it as a chatzimova chatzibikadin, that's just how Chazal treat it in order because they want to get it. They want to split the profits and split the losses. So the mechanics, this is how we understand it in order to get to this 50-50 split. But some poskim say it's not a real loan, and that's why it's not metatli etol yasmi, and that's why you can't go drink beer with it. It has to be used for an investment. It's just looked at it for these purposes, but it's not a true loan. Others learn that no, Chazal made it into a regular loan. There are a number of nafkaminos. First of all, there's a question of if there's ribbis involved, would this be ribbis daraisa or ribbis daravada? If it's a true loan, then we have to deal with a possible daraisa. If it's really an investment and we're just looking at a loan, chatzimov chatzibikadin, then we're dealing with a question of the rabbanon. It's discussed in the context of Shemitah. A pikadon, if you give your card to your neighbor to watch, Shemitah is not mishamer. If you lend him money, the Shemitah comes and wipes out the debt. So do you say on every iska that the chatzimova is wiped out? I think it's a machlokes, it could be it's like a mashkin, but there's another discussion in the din of Bukhar. Bukhar gets pishnayim, gets a double share of anything which is mochzik. He does not get a pishnayim in ro'i, which is any debt that is owed to his father. The Bukhar will not get pishnayim. So it would come out, if you learn chatzimova chatzibikadin literally, if the father gave money be'iska to someone and then he died, so his bechor would get a double share in the chelek ha'pikadin, but on the chelek ha'milva, he'll only get a regular share. So it's a three-way machlokes. Some say it's a halal, some say it's because and some people split down the middle, like the pashtus of this gemara. So
if this is not a halal, what defines a halal? What defines a real halva?
No, the point over here is that you gave the money, the entire money was given as an investment. But the investment, the understanding was you're going to split the profits and split the losses. Does that mean that ki'ilu, 50% of it is a straight loan and 50% is a straight pikadon, which is how probably most poskim learn? Others learn, it's not, you never lent it to him. It's an investment that he's managing. Now, it's true he has a certain level of liability, and therefore, midrabbanan, in this case, we're going to treat him as treat part of it as a chelik, as a chati imova. But since you didn't lend it to him, it wasn't, and it was very specific. He's just it's just for the business purposes. It's not a regular loan, at least.
Right. So what makes it not a loan? He has a responsibility. Is that the final loan, or is it the purpose that it was given for that defines something as a loan? So what would define a normal loan as opposed to this?
Normal loans have two points. First of all, it's given to him to do what he wants with. Now, that itself is not the criteria. That, you know, you can give someone a loan and restrict the use. But it's a loan, it's lohitzof, it's for him to do what he wants for himself. Even if you limit it, it's lohitzof. He may have to pay it back to you, but he is now working completely on his own. A loan also means he's liable for it under any circumstances. Over here, nothing was really discussed. The money, they just said, let's start a business. They started a business. Chazal said, we're going to slap you with half the liability. And we're also going to pretend it's a chatim, but it wasn't given to you to use for your personal use. It's for the business that you managed. So it's true you have a liability for this business, but because it wasn't specifically given as a loan, it may not be a havah d'oraisa. Now, okay, the next tomorrow we'll go through very briefly. Amarava Chad Isku Tre Shtari Pseida de Malva. The law is like this. When you give an iska, there are two ribbis limitations. One of them we'll actually get to in the Mishnah, which is a bit later. But the second is, right now we're looking at it, whatever the recipient is liable for, whatever responsibility he has, that's a chelek hanova. Whatever he's not responsible for is a chelek hapikadon. Let's say I give you $100,000, and we make up, I'm going to get 70% of the profits. But if there's any loss, we're going to go 50-50. Now, if you think about it, what's happening over there? When I say if there are any losses, it's 50-50, what does that mean? That means half of this money is a chelek hamilvah and half is a chelek hapikadon. The reason why you as the manager are responsible for half the losses is because half the money you borrowed. And that's why if anything happens, you have to pay me back. But I'm telling you, if there are profits, I get 70%. Now, what does that mean? The 50% of the profits I'm getting because it's chatzim of chatzim b'kodem. Where is that extra money coming from? The extra 20%. What's happening is the extra 20% I'm charging you. Since I'm giving you the chelek hamilvah as an interest-free loan, I'm telling you I want 20% of the profits for this loan. So this is going to be a problem. So it doesn't have to be 50-50. It can be 60-40, it can be 70-30, it can be 80-10. But it has to be equivalent. If the investor is getting a greater share of the profits than his share of the losses, that difference itself is going to be ribbis. That's the first restriction. The second restriction is that, what's going on over here? Let's say I give you $100,000, 50-50. Half is a loan, you have all the profits and losses. Half is a pikadon, I get all the profits and losses. Who's running this business? The recipient. Now, if you think about it, the recipient on one hand is getting a chatzimov, he's getting an interest-free loan. On the other hand, he's working like a dog and managing this investment for me. And he's not being compensated. The work itself is going to be ribbis. Even if we're splitting everything 50-50, the very fact that he's working for me without compensation, that itself is ribbis. So as we're going to see, it's really in the next sugya, in the Mishnah, but you have to give some sort of compensation for his work. We'll see the different parameters, you know, to make life simpler. If you make up in advance before the deal starts, you can give them a davar mu'atz, even, you know, a dinner, people give a dollar. As long as you make up in advance, then it's a token payment is enough. But if you don't make anything up, then you have to pay more. We'll see in the Gemara different sheetos. But what they very often did is they made up that the recipient would get a greater share of the profits than in the losses. So if the losses were 50-50, the recipient, we'll call him the borrower, would get two-thirds of the profits. And that extra sixth of the profits that he's getting above the 50-50 split, what? Is a management fee, exactly.
Yeah, And that's sufficient, even though there may be no prophets, he may not...
Exactly. The Gemara discusses that, but the very fact that it's set up that my share of the profits is greater than my liability for the losses, that itself is my management fee, and that will... The Gemara will talk about it, but that is fine.
It has to be substantial in that, or it could be 50.5%?
That we'll see. It might depend if you make up in advance, but that's the whole sugya, the next whole sugya that we'll get to shortly. But there is a differential between the share of the profits and the share of the losses. The manager always has to have a greater share of the profits than the share of the losses. Now, what happens if you have a person comes to you, has a great idea, and you give him money to invest, $100,000, and it'll be an ISK. 6 months later, he comes, and another property, another opportunity arises, you give him another $100,000. 2 years later, you sit down to make a cheshbon. And it turns out, in the first business venture, he lost $50,000. In the second venture, he gained $50,000. So how do you split? So what? Basically, it's a wash, right? He ends up with, he has the exact same, you gave him $200,000. 2 years later, he has exactly $200,000 left. What happens to this money? Who gets it? So the car, it's a wash. You didn't gain, you didn't lose. It should all go back to the investor, right? But you think that not so fast. Because in the first deal, the manager, we said, gets a bigger share of the profits than in the losses. So in the first deal, there's a $50,000 loss. The losses are split 50-50. So each of them lost $25,000. So had you stopped then, he would have had to take $25,000 out of his pocket. There's 100. I gave him 100. There's only 50 left. He really has to take 25 out of his pocket, return the 75, and each of us has a $25,000 loss. On the second deal, there's a $50,000 profit. On the profit, what do we say? The profit split is 2/3, 1/3. Which means he's going to get roughly 33, and I'll get roughly 17. So if you look at it all together, you look at it as one big deal, one big investment of $200,000 that gained nothing and lost nothing, the investor gets back $200,000. But if you break it into two separate deals and you calculate each of them separately, on the first deal we each lose 25. On the second deal, the manager gets 30, earns 33. The investor loses 17. Sorry, the investor gets 17. So then the manager will end up with a couple of dollars in his pocket. So how do we deal with it? So Amarava. Chod isko treish dari. If there's one iska, it's one business deal, but you write it in two separate shtaris. You give the money separately and you write two separate shtaris. You have one document that says $100,000 iska, a second document that says $100,000 iska, say it in the malva. Then the lender, the investor, will lose out. Because since they're separate documents, we calculate each one separately. And therefore, on one we say $50,000 loss, split it. The other one we say $50,000 gain, split that as well, and therefore the recipient, the borrower, will end up profiting. But trei iska v'chad shtar, if there are two different deals, but you write one shtar, you roll it all in together, say the leiva, then the leiva will lose out. So we look at how the documents are drafted. One document means, if you have one document encompassing all of the investments, we look at it as all one big partnership, and therefore we look at the total, the net gain or net loss. If you have two separate documents, even though it's for the same property, the same business deal, since it's in two separate documents, we treat each iska separately, and therefore the halacha would be is since they're separate, the manager will gain. Amar Rava, Haiman de kabel iska the new halacha de kabel iska min chabre. If a person accepts an iska from his friend who puts it, he loses the money. But instead of calling the investor up and telling him, listen, I'm very sorry to tell you, the money was all in the Bernard Madoff fund, it's all gone. He recovers a couple of cents on the dollar, keeps on working, and at the end of it, he ends up making the money all back. So Tarach Umadiyev lo yadiyah, he goes ahead, even though he didn't have to, really he invested in whatever the deal was, he lost money, he could have just given it back. Instead he was quiet, he schwitzed, he bought, he sold, and he ended up making all the money back. The halacha is, he can't later on say, listen, you gave me $100,000. Really, on the deal that I gave it, I lost $90. There's only $10,000 left. That, let's split 50-50. Now all the profits, I went ahead on my own and I made another $90,000. I'm going to take 2/3 of that profit. And you'll, so Rava, no. Since you didn't say anything, you didn't tell it to him, we assume that the pshat is that even that you decide to continue the iska, continue it going, and therefore we look at it as all one big deal. And if you make back the 100, the investor gets it all. Vamarava hani beit trade of it iska mahadi hadadi. Two people who do an iska together. Viravach, and these are, and they're both in it together, and they make profits. One of them says, listen, I made some money. Let's pull it out. Let's stop while we're ahead. Let me pull out the profits. I don't want to keep it at risk. The other person say, no, this partnership is supposed to last for a year. So it's true, the first week we did well. We have a couple extra dollars sitting around. But since the partnership is supposed to be for a year, you can't pull out any profits. You can't pay or make any distributions until the end of the year because I want to keep it all in. Let's say he says, listen, you keep your half, but give me half of the profits. Let me pull that out. You can say, no, you have to keep. I want you to keep all the money in, because since the profits are meshubit to the Karen, if there's ever a loss in the future, we'll have the profits to make up for it. So until the end of the partnership, you can't pull any, neither partner has the right to demand any distributions. So let's say he says, listen, let's divide the partnership. You keep your half of profits and half of the carrot and do what you want with it. I'm going to pull out my half, and I'll do what I want with it. Let's just divide it. So the Gemara says, he says, no, the Isko is Meshubit to itself, because is we're Meshubit to each other. You cannot dissolve the partnership until the end of the term. Let's just end this partnership now. Let's split it up. I'm going to manage my half. You're going to manage your half. We're still partners. So you know what? If you lose, I'll make up. At the end of the year, I'll pay it back. So we're going to dissolve the partnership. What's your issue? Your issue is that if you have a hefsid, you want my revach or you want my money to mishubit to you. He says, listen, I'm going to be at the end of the day. I'm with you. If anything happens, I'm retaining liability, but I don't want my money locked up in this investment. Let me pull it out. I'm going to do what I want with it. And at the end of the year, if there's a hefsid, I'll give back my revach. I'll give back my money in order to mamalo that hefsid. But for now, I need the cash. I want to use it. He said, no, since we're both in it together, mazel debay trey adif, it's better to have two people involved. And basically, the bottom line is that a shotif has no right to pull out money at any point until the end of the term. And we discussed when we went through Hilchos Shotfim, what does it mean the end of the term? How you define a term? What happens if things change? That was really a shaila in Hilchos Shotfim. What we do see from this Gemara is that an iska is like a shotfus. And you cannot pull out of an iska just like you cannot pull out of a shotfus. Interestingly enough, this case is there are two people who accepted an iska from a third party. However, if I give money to you, the halacha is although the investor can't pull out, because it's a partnership, and every partnership, once you put it in, if there's a term, you're locked in for that term under normal circumstances. If the manager, the recipient, wants to pull out, he could. And the reason for that is that we learned in Stiras Pailim, Ki Libanei Yisrael Avadim. Whenever you have a worker can never be forced to work. He can always say, I had enough. He wants to retire. So halacha is that you can't force him to work. But the manager, the investor, who just is not working, he just put in the capital. There, once he puts in the capital, it is meshuvik.
So the worker can pull out at any time, and just everything freezes at that point, or he has responsibility to make up.
It's actually a very good point. There are two important limitations. The first is that although a worker can quit, if you work for someone or if you have an employee, he's not your slave. Wants to quit, he can quit. But when we went through Skiras Poyolim, there's a concept of Dovra Ovid, which means your accountant calls you on April 15th, you know, I quit. It's a Dovra Ovid, because you have to file by the end of the day. If you don't file today, he's going to be hit with a penalty. So he's going to cause a loss, he can't walk away. So if you have an ISCO where this person is the only one with the knowledge and the ability to extricate yourself from this investment or to wind things down, he can't quit until Kolzman is the Dover of it. Kolzman quitting without notice will cause a hefsek. So he definitely has to either train someone in or hand it over in a way where he will not cause a loss. The second issue, and this is by a heter iska, is a whole discussion whether by a heter iska the person can decide after 2 weeks, you know what, I don't want to take your money back, I don't want to pay you. So from, it sounds like from the Pashas of Rishayim, he could do that. If he's working for you, if he wants to quit, he can quit. The question there is really twofold. The first question is that he's not a regular pile, because when you give someone an iska, usually he can do what he wants with it, or he's a kavlin, so there may be further restrictions. But regardless, I think the Shlis Yaakov has a very nice talk. He says it's true you can quit whenever you want. But the way a heter iska is structured is it's an investment, 50-50. And basically he has to be Eidim, Shvua, which we'll talk about in the Shiur more. Basically the interest that he's paying is, if he doesn't want to bring Eidim, or doesn't want to make a Shvua about what happened, you give him the option, pay 10%, and he's off the hook. So like the Shlis Yaakov, you give someone to iska for a year, and the deal is it's a partnership. But and if he doesn't want to bring the Eidim a Shvua, if he gives you, like, give him $100,000, if he pays you $110,000, he doesn't have to make a Shvua. If a week later he changes his mind, it's true you can't force him to work. But on the other hand, the contract says he has to make a shavua, bring Eidim. It gives him one way out. If he pays you $110,000. Now it's true, he doesn't have to pay the $110,000 until the end of the year. But if he wants to end it earlier, so if he's ready to make a shavua, bring Eidim, what happened? I'll make a shavua and he'll leave. But if he doesn't want to make a shavua, he wants to say, you agree that if I pay you 10%, I don't have to make a shavua. The contract doesn't say 10%. How do you say that? So they pay you $110,000 at the end of the year. So there, if you want to walk away after 2 weeks, you're still locked into that, and you can't prorate the $10,000 and say, okay, I had it for a week. It's you divide 10,000 by 52, and here's a couple of dollars. It doesn't work. So if you're ready to make a shvur, Eidim, what the profits were, you can walk away whenever you want, and you just split the profits. But if you're not going to make a shvur, Eidim, you're going to hang here, you're just going to rely on this option you have in the shtar, in the iska, to make this flat payment. So you either make the full payment or continue working. Those will be your options. On the other hand, the iska is written where it doesn't say $10,000. It says, if you give it back with a 10% return, so then the 10% will be prorated. If it's 10% annual return, so if you give it back after a week, it'll be prorated. So if you want to, if you want to make an iska and you want to lock him in for a certain amount of time, the way to do it is to make a term, put a flat amount at the end of the term. If you want to, you can write afterwards it continues at the same rate, but that initial term you make a flat amount, and that way if he decides to prepay, he will still be stuck paying the full iska amount. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. Samaches, Emeshivim Chavim Matzeskar. You cannot hire a shopkeeper, someone to manage the store for you, where you'll pay him, where he'll earn half of the profits. Now the case over here is, again, he's earning half the profits and he's going to be responsible for half the losses. And the problem is, he's managing the store for you. Since he's running the store for you, he has to be paid for his labor. So the same way you can't have a storekeeper working for you, you can't give someone money to buy and sell fruits. You have to pay his wages for the work that he does. And actually, just last week, actually on the way home from the shir, someone called me up. He is in real estate, and he entered into the following arrangement. He had an investor that put up 70% of the capital. He put up 30% of the capital. They bought a property. This real estate person is managing it. He's doing all the work. And everything's going to be 50-50. All profits and losses are 50-50. Is there any problem with Hilchos Ribos?
He's getting paid more than 50. He's getting paid 70, isn't he?
No, it's like this. The investor is putting up 70% of the capital, but he's only getting 50% of the profits and 50% of the losses. What? He's getting, you know, it's even though he's only putting up 30% of the capital, he's getting 50% of the profits because of his work, but he's also assuming 50% of the liability. What? Exactly. What he's saying is, he's not being compensated for his management, because if the deal would be that the broker gets 50% of the profits and 30% of the losses, then that 20% is what he's getting of the profits is what he's getting paid for his work. But over here, he's responsible for half the losses, which means this is chati milva, which means the money that was put up, the extra money that the investor put up, half of it is as if he lent to the broker, where he gets the profits and the losses. So he's not getting paid anything for his labor. No. If there's a loss, the deal is 50-50 on the losses. Let's say the thing goes down. Let's reuse round numbers.
You put in 30 of his own.
$100,000 investment. Investor put in 70, he put in 30. If the house blows up and it's worth zero, they split the losses 50-50, which means the real estate fellow has to take $20,000 out of his pocket and pay it to the investor. 50-50. So in that case, we look at it as it basically $30,000, they each put in $30,000. That's just the regular equity. The additional money, the additional $40,000 that the investor put in extra, really what's happening is $20,000 he's putting in for himself, and that's his. $20,000 he's lending to the broker who's putting in, and is completely responsible for the profits and losses, and that's why he's 50-50. But at the end of the day, what's really happening is that the broker is doing the work. In exchange, the investor is lending him $20,000 interest rate. And that is ribbis. So what this Mishnah says is, you have to pay Schar Tircha, which means you would have to pay a davar more. Now, although this seems to, this seems to be shine the Mishnah, if I can confuse everyone a little bit, in my case, the halacha is going to be different. And the reason for that is that this is an important halacha. All the case that we're going to discuss of Iska, this mission, both the Gemara on Kuf Dalet and this mission on the Gemara over here, is all talking about where there's a venture. One person is completely funding the venture. One person is putting the capital, the other person is doing the work. There we have this halacha where we say if the manager is doing the work and not getting compensated, that's going to be ribbis. However, if there is a shutfis, Rif and the Rambam both paskin, if both put in capital, or the Rambam seems to need also, they're both doing a little bit of work, but the Rambam paskin like the Rif. As long as they're both putting in money, whenever you have a partnership, very often two people will invest money. One of them will get one of them will get more profits than the other. Very often, one of them is more competent, the other one's less competent, one of them has a better idea, has more better connections. Very often in partnerships, things are not 50-50. There are many reasons why one partner may get a greater or smaller share of the profits than the other. Therefore, Zuck the Rif and Zuck the Rambam, when both put in capital, via this halacha of Schar Tircha doesn't apply. This mission is only talking about a case where there's an investor that's completely funding the venture. Once they're each putting in something, you do not have to pay the person Schar Tircha. Now, in most cases today, in many iskos and most partnerships, usually it's not one person putting in all of the capital. And therefore, in many cases today, if a person writes and does an iska, and as long as the recipient has some money in the game, even if it's a small fraction of the investors, it will avoid many of these problems. Now, paying the problem we discussed earlier, if you get a higher share of the profits than in the losses, that already is not so simple. The Shach seems to say that even that's okay as long as they both have money in. Chavis Das argues, it's a whole discussion which maybe we'll get to a different year. But at least this concept that you pay him for his work, as long as he has some money in the deal, then this halakha doesn't apply.
Yeah, maybe then once he has some money in the deal, all percentages are okay?
So percentages is not so simple. The Shach over there says that the Ramah says that this halakha doesn't apply, that in Kufayim Zayin, which is the halakha for the Iska, the Ramah says it doesn't apply to a shotvis. Now the Shach explains that. Oh, it's like this. Because the Ramah went through this halacha of how much you pay Schar Tircha, he does have another asik. The different things that we'll see in the Gemara and Samachas. So the Ramah, because that kishe elcha noisin hamoyes, when one person gave the entire capital, avam kol elcha noisin moyes, I feel elcha mesasik levad in kind iska al habi kishotiv am. It's not an iska; it's a regular shotvus. So Ramah just says it's not iska to shotvus. So what does that mean? So what does that tell us? So if you the Shach over there, Shach Yud Gimel says, "V'cholkin arevra hefse be'ezah inyan sheyirtzu." They can divide the profits and losses however they choose. Ben chayishim mishon ribbis. The Shach seems to say all bets are off. Do what you want. Do what you want because it's a partnership. Partnerships can divide profits and losses however they choose. They don't have to worry about these halachas. The Chavis Das qualifies this. Chavis Das says, and the Dalit says, near the dock of the interchange, early things to start to occur. It just means you don't have to pay him for his labor. Kim to Isaac Bishul Moish Shaloi, the Gam Dami the Shosh. Since he's where, anyway, he has to do the work because he's a partner here. He's a real partner. He has to work for himself anyway. And they're partners and partners anyway. Sometimes one does work, as everyone who's entered a partnership knows, everyone, all partners feel that they're the only ones that does the work anyway, so the other partner never does work. I will look at Chavis Das, I will also have a Kabbalah, Kabbalah, to Mechelik, Behebsid, Yoyser. So the Chavis Das drastically limits this. He says the heter is only that you don't have to pay him skar tzeracha, but the investor cannot have a greater share of the profits than he will have in the losses. There are a number of achroinim. There's a Chesed Avram, there's a Nachlas Avos, and an Eretz Tzvi that all qualify the Chavis Das, and they say this is only when the managing partner takes responsibility. If anything happens, he'll take money out of his pocket to reimburse the investor for his losses. However, if there's no liability to take money out of the pocket, it's just this pot. There, they say even the Chavis Das would agree. You can split the profits wherever you want. Now, this is very helpful. You have case, very often where there's a partnership where one puts in more than the other, but it's understood that no one has any liability to take money out of their pocket. Even if it goes bust, there's no way, none of the other investors or manager has any personal liability. So in that case, according to all these shuvas, they can split the profits and losses however they choose. Okay, let's not get too bogged down on that. Let's continue the Mishnah. Hey, Meishim in town, regarding Lumechza, you can't give someone chickens and you're going to split all the eggs. In Shaman Agalo Siyach Lumechza, you can't give it the animals either, where you'll split the profits and losses. You have to pay the person for his work. Again, the same halacha, and you have to also give mazonos. You have to also share in the cost of maintaining these animals, since they have to be fed. So, if you don't feed them, if you force the manager to feed them, that itself is the ribbis. Okay, so that we'll get to the Gemara later. Gemara says Tana Kapoyel Bata. The Mishnah says you have to pay the person for the work. So the Zog the Gemara Tana Kapoyel Bata. You have to pay the Kapoyel Bata. You don't have to pay him. So what might Bottle. What does it mean to pay him kipoil bottle? Amar Abaye, kipoil bottle shall oisim malacha de bottle mine. So there's a tremendous machlokas rishayim exactly what this means. But one thing is for sure, you do not pay him, you don't have to pay him the regular wages. You pay him kipoil bottle shall oisim malacha de bottle mine. The way Rashi learns is that we look at what his job was before he did it. He went into this venture with you. Whatever his job was, let's say he was a blacksmith. Now he's entering into this partnership, and he's running a store. Now it's a much easier job to do. How much would a person accept in order to get out of, how much would he want to get paid, taking into account that he used to have a much harder job, and now he's going to an easier job? Again, there are different shatim. Some other places can look at Poyo Bato just means that is you have to pay him for running the store. But everyone knows running the store, there's a busy season there. You know, there's before Pesach, and then there is the middle of the winter. So Kapala Bata means you pay him the minimum amount to run a store. You assume it's during the winter the entire time. So you pay him the basically assuming that it's going to be the lowest wages people will accept to do this to do this job. Another shot of Kapala Bata is you assume he's unemployed. Person's unemployed, you give him a job, so he's desperate for a job. He'll accept lower wages than if he has other options. So if you have someone who's a poyel batel, so again, different pshatim, but according to most pshatim, this is a kulo. Although you have to pay him for his work, you don't have to pay the full salary. You can pay a lower amount based on these different formulas, and this is all a kulo because this is ribbis drabanon, therefore you don't have to pay the full amount. Tzricha. So the Gemara says we have to say tzricha. We need this halacha. By Mishnah says this halacha twice. Says it by a chenveni and says it by when you hire someone to buy fruits. To run a store, you just sit in the store all day, you collect the money, it's not so hard. So there you can get a kapoya bottom. But if someone gives you money and says, go buy and sell skoira, you have to schlep around, you have to find things, it's hard work. So I would think you have to pay your full salary. So the Kamashmu Mishnah, no, kapoya bottle is enough. We would say that why do you have to make a poil bottle? That's only someone who's buying and selling because it's a lot of work. But a chavity where he's just sitting around in the store all day, maybe he doesn't have to be getting paid a poil bottle. You can just give him a double more. You can give him a mashu, and that would be enough. So to kamashim alone, that no matter what the job is, according to the Mishnah, you have to pay a poil bottle. So have a meter, you can just give him a mashu, mashu on the Mishnah that no. So the Mishnah passed him, no matter what the job is, you have to pay him kapoil bat. And the Gemara is going to say, this is a machloket. Tan Rabban, kam uskarei ben meru ben meru atibir meir. Meir says you have to pay him his full salary. Yudo aim rafi, lo tavali my el betzir, lo yachli my el groigers achat zehu. Skarei. Yudo has a tremendous pula. The person's working for you. He goes ahead. You're eating lunch together, and you let him dip his bread into you share a little dip with him. How much is that worth? Nothing. Come on, that's enough. As long as he's getting any benefit whatsoever, then there's no problem here. And the way the poskim explained, since this is not either way, he's really working for himself anyway, because there's a chatzim over. He's working. He's managing for himself. So it's not a big deal once he's managing for himself to manage for you also. So therefore, it's only the Rabbanan de Gedin. They make you pay a token amount, but more than this, but any amount is okay. It's like this. Rav Shimon ben Yochai says you have to pay him his full wages. Rav Meir says, Skari ben Meru ben Mu'ot. The Gemara is going to ask what the difference is, but we'll call that Kapoil Batur. Rav Yehuda says even a Masher was enough. So we have a three-way Machlokes. La halacha, what we hold is that it really depends. If you make up before, if when you give him the iska, you tell him, I'm going to give you a dinner, that's enough. Because since you made up in advance, then you're making the dinner. On the other hand, if you don't make anything up at the time you just give him the money, and then later on you realize, I didn't pay you kapoil, there you have to pay more. And there already it'll depend if the person has another job, this is a side job, then even later a dinner is enough. But if he has no other job and this is the only thing that he's working on, then a dinner is not enough. You can't just pay him a dollar. Then you have to pay him kapoil bottle. And exactly what a kapoil bottle is, that there's a machlokes apoiskim, and there's no clear consensus which way of calculating is lahalacha. Your best, because of that, it's important to make sure you make up before you start the partnership. Because even in the middle of the partnership, if you didn't yet do a chalukah according to the Taz, it could be you can also give a davar muat. But if you wait till the end, if they wake up after the deal is done, and now they realize that they never paid Sky Tercha, and now they want to pay, they're going to have a problem. It's important to make if you do it in advance, even a dollar, even a davar muat, that would be enough. Okay, I'm going to stop here now just to do this here.
Thank you.